Will This Be on the Test Teacher Pod is a podcast by, for, and about teachers. It's not a place where we discuss rigor or teaching methods or sell lesson plans. It's simply a safe space for teachers to share their stories, frustrations, and triumphs, and for our listeners to realize, episode after episode, that they're not alone. Will This Be on the Test Teacher Pod is sometimes funny, sometimes disturbing, but always honest.
Welcome to Will This Be on the Test Teacher Pod. Two teachers explore the realities of education. This week, we don't have any guests. It's just us. I'm Yo Miss.
And I'm Miss V. And I feel like we haven't done this in a while because we had that two-parter. So it's been a while.
It has. And we had Memorial Day weekend. So we had your adventure. So how was that?
Yeah. I did have a adventure, I guess. It's a very good Memorial Day reminder of where America is right now. Unfortunately, that's how I felt. We went camping, which we have a campground membership, and one of the places in the membership is literally like 5 miles from our house. So we booked there for Memorial Day weekend because in Michigan, one never knows if it will be 100 degrees or 30 degrees. So we figured, well, we're close if the weather's gross, whatever. So my point of that is we're not like people that are not in my life. This is a local place. And we pull in. Well, so first of all, we have two dogs that we don't always bring with us. Sometimes we shop them out to my parents, or when we're at this close one, we run them home. They're barky and I don't trust them in the camper. But I've decided this season we're taking them. We're committing, keeping them. We're doing it. I'm not going to run them home because I'm tired of taking care of them. So we pull in, and the people who are already in the site next to us have three dogs. And they're tied on random things across the end into our campsite. And, you know, we had worked that day. And anyone who's ever camped or vacationed knows it's a shit ton of work. By the time we get to the campsite, I'm like done. And also I'm kind of a brat. So we get out, my husband's like trying to like get the camper set up, and I'm just stomping around going, well, I don't know how we're going to be able to have our dogs here. I don't know how we're going to have five dogs here because they were in our campsite. And rather than just be an adult and say like, could you move your dogs? Because we have dogs. I just loudly ranted, how many dogs does a person need to have? And then I was like, yes, we're taking our dogs home. How typical. I was a real brat. Well, the guy was this like big old burly guy, and he just stood there literally like his mouth gaping open, just staring at me much of the time. My husband was like, you know, usually people come over and say hi, or they offer to help you like back in. That guy just stared at us. And then he did move his dogs. And so it was fine. And they were camping with six kids. So that was a lot of kids. And they ranged from like high school down to tiny. That was fine. But that night we're at I guess it was the next night. Because that night we just like unpacked and crashed. So the next night we're all around our respective fires. And, you know, they're in their site and we're in ours. But close enough that you could loudly chat. And so every now and then they would chat something over, or throughout the day. Actually, I should say all five dogs were wonderful. Like none of them barked at each other.
So they were better than the people helped. Is what you're saying.
They are definitely better than my behavior. And so then the next day I had a friendly exchange with the wife to sort of smooth it over, and it was fine. Well, that night, so we're having this like here and there chat across the fire, and somehow I had said that I was a teacher. I had been a teacher at some point. So like some time has gone by out of nowhere. We're not talking about school. The guy yells across, hey, you were a teacher. What about those litter boxes in classrooms or in bathrooms? What? I was like, I said, that's not real. And he's like, oh, sure as hell is. And then he says, my kids said they have them in their school. What? And I was like, no, they don't.
Wait. He truly believed that there are kids, people who use litter boxes in the schools, like feral
yes,
children.
The furries, you know, the furries. And then the kid chimes in.
Wait, can you explain to our audience what a furry is? Because those of us on the East Coast, we do not have furries. I only know because when
it's a Fox News thing. It's not a Michigan thing. So basically around the time when transgender students were requesting, when this bathroom drama first started of transgender students using bathrooms, and that became like the national debate. Shortly after that, like a right-wing conservative something or other started this trend that liberal teachers are letting kids, we're going so far as to letting kids identify as animals now. So it's totally like a, I don't even know if dog whistle is the right word for like the, for gender, whatever I'm trying to say. They're picking really on transgender kids with this furry thing. So that's, they're literally using that identified as like, but kids dressing up or pretending to be animals for like role play online or like conventions, that's gone on for years and years. And it's just kids playing pretend or adults playing pretend, because that's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
I one time read where it came from, and it was some like not even popular like podcast or something where someone made this claim that schools were so liberal that now they were doing this, and then that just blew up, and
doing
now
what?
People
doing
believe
what?
It's a real thing. Putting doing litter what? Boxes out for kids who identify as animals.
To go to the bathroom?
Yeah. Because it's saying, like, first you let transgender kids use the wrong bathrooms. The next thing you know, kids are using litter boxes. That's like they're lumping it into one offensive statement. It's not a thing. Can we all just take a pause and visualize the logistics? Think of the logistics. So here you got high school kids who are embarrassed of everything.
Sure.
Where are you going to put it? Just out? It won't fit in a stall. You're just going to put it out. Litter boxes aren't that big.
It's absurd.
Who's going to clean them? What, like a teacher's going to clean that shit? I mean, it's so stupid. Like,
this guy is convinced that he says his kids have seen that.
Yes, okay. And so the one kid who's maybe like middle school, freshman age, pipes up. There's a kid in my school who poops and pees on the floor.
Okay.
And what I thought about saying later, but I was just shocked and also several beers in because we were camping, was like, yes, once we had a kid who did poop and smear it on the walls because he had been severely sexually abused. Like, I think that might have taken it down a notch, but I didn't think of that, of course.
No, with somebody like this, they would have been like, oh, well, he's probably one of those like crazy, you know, like
abused by a drag queen. It's probably what he would have said.
Right, of course, because that's what they do. That's, you know, he was being groomed. Groomed, another big word.
Yes. Well, in the background, the wife yelled, I don't care how old I was, even if I was a kid, if I would have pretended to be a dog, my dad would have beat the shit out of me.
Oh,
that's also a sad.
Good Lord.
And like,
so now your husband can beat the shit out of you, you know?
Yeah, that's fine. As long as you use the right bathroom, your husband can beat the shit out of you. So I was just like, oh no. And then he said, does your school have those non-binary bathrooms? And I was like, that's not a thing. They're just bathrooms. But I said, well, we do have some staff bathrooms that are just like a family bathroom where it's just one thing. I just tried to tried to play it like I didn't really know what he was trying to suggest. And then the second night, and so then we just sort of like, well, we're going to go in now. Nice seeing, I don't know, sort of that was that. So the second night, the kids were all amok. And one of his kids, like eighth, ninth grade, popped out of his tent and yelled, Heil Hitler.
Oh,
and
wow.
I yelled it. And I was like, whoa. And the parents, they like look over and they're like, oh my God, do your kids do embarrassing things or dumb things? And I was like, not anti-Semitic ones.
I would have been like, yeah, you know, it's really embarrassing when my kids cut a Christian. It really, you know, it's just embarrassing.
My kids are always trashing Jesus.
I tell them, stop telling everybody there's no Santa. Oops, did some of your kids believe in Santa?
Yeah, she did have little kids. So I said, "Oh, you better not say something like that at school." I don't know why I brought up school again. What's wrong with me? So then the brother says he did yell it at school. And then the mom is just shaking her head like, kids these days.
Kids, yeah.
That's not what kids these days are doing. Well, it is, unfortunately, in West Michigan. So
where are these people from? Like, are they from your neck of the woods? Like,
they're from about 45 minutes to an hour from me. They're from the same county. If I think I talked about it on here, when that wackadoo guy posted on Facebook and outed a bunch of liberal teachers, including myself, mm-hmm. They're from that county.
So can you tell them your name so they could say, "Oh, we heard about you."
Actually, as we got talking, we were there like 5 days. 4 days. They have a bunch of animals and like a hobby farm, and we got to talking about how we used to have sheep and they are needing to buy some clippers. And I was like, "Oh my god, we will sell you our sheep clippers. We've just been like, they're just sitting in our garage." Mm-hmm. So they Venmo'd us, so they do have my name now, but I have their name too. So
that's right.
Now my husband, who is not confrontational at all, the next mm-hmm. day was out doing something and went to Walmart and bought a case of Bud Light and found Bud Light swim trunks, which he promptly wore the entire weekend. He doesn't even really drink. He carried around a Bud Light. He drank more Bud Light than he has in his life. He carried it around the whole weekend because he thought that was sending a message to them. Oh, here's what I'll tell you. The second day they got out and they hung 3 Trump flags.
I would have had to leave because I just would have been exploding, and poor Scotty here would have been like having to listen to me rant about it and would have been like, "This is not a vacation. We could do this at home," you know?
Yeah. What's hard was, and this is kind of what I wrote on Facebook, because the one boy, not the Heil Hitler one, actually all the kids, the older kids were all really nice kids. And the one boy came over one night when I was like getting firewood out of the truck and offered to help me and kind of like sat and talked with me for a while. And he was so sweet and mature. And he told me about his horse and he's in equestrian club and he's his new school. He's going to do Future Farmers of America. And he just was the nicest kid. And other than when we talked, when they brought up random stuff, they were a very friendly family. So I really did feel conflicted about hating them.
Well, you know what it is? I generally draw the line at the kids, because the kids don't have a choice. They're being raised by animals, by their own version of furries, and they're, you know, they don't have a choice. And so, you know, you just have to hope that maybe down the road they will look back and say, "Wow, my parents were wrong," you know. But when they're kids, it's like if a kid's yelling out Heil Hitler and his parents are like, "Ha ha ha," like that's not that kid's fault. He learned it somewhere, at home, or at a video game about World War II or something, and nobody's correcting him. So what can you say, you know?
Yes. Well, and I kind of felt that way about the parents. I mean, as we talked, that husband told me, I mean, I could tell you his whole history of his divorce, his current custody battle, his ex-wife and her current abusive alcoholic husband. He just meander over and just get going. But I felt like, you know, we weren't dealing with like Harvard educated people. And I also feel like they're victims of this, of propaganda is really what they are. And so it felt like also sad to think like, you know, we have a lot in common. Like he is taking custody of these older boys because since things have been bad with the ex, their grades have gone down. They've started, you know, they're unhappy. And he's like, "I told them you live with us. Like we have, you know, we come home from school, homework gets done. You help with chores. We have dinner as a family." I mean, there was a lot of stuff we had in common about family and kids. And so that's the part that I really like sort of like analyzed all weekend, was how these people, how I can have in some ways so much in common with them, but then have these like core value differences. Mm-hmm. But also I feel like they've literally been lied to and don't know any better.
Yeah,
but also that's not really an excuse in this day and age of internet.
No, it's not an excuse for adults, You know, again, I'll excuse it in a kid, but not in an adult.
Yeah.
Some of it is so absurd, like litter boxes in a classroom, that, you know, they're looking for an excuse to talk, to feel that way. I mean, or something. I don't know what the disconnect is, but I mean, that's just so ridiculous. How could you even contemplate believing that?
I really think at first I was mad, like, why do you just think you can just throw out your politics? Like,
well, yeah,
they're the ones who claim we're all pushing a liberal agenda on them. But I was like, you got your flags up. You've made multiple comments to me. But I kind of think they live in such a bubble. I don't know if they even were doing it intentionally other than, or they think like we all, this is just how, what we all think because they're in such a bubble. And then the last day he informed me that they were debating between two schools to send the boys to because they kind of live on a line. And I can tell you both of the schools they were deliberating to are like small rural schools. I'm sure they're wonderful, hardworking teachers, but they're not also like schools that are topping like the list of, you know, like college prep schools. And he's like, they're both really good. And I was like, well, they're schools. And they're both in very conservative rural towns. And he said the one, and then he shifty-eyed, looked around, and he said, has a transgender guidance counselor.
Ooh.
And I cannot believe that's true just because of what I know about that school. So I'm like, really? Like, I'm shocked. And he's like, I know, right? He's shocked for a different reason.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's hard to believe. And he's like, I know. I was like, well, for different reasons, we think this. And then he said, I mean, people can live their lives however they want, but you have to wonder why a person like that would want to work with kids.
Oh, there you go.
I said, I do wonder why anyone would want to work with kids. That's a good point.
Well, you should have said, you know, I work for the union, and that's not true.
I didn't even get into that. Well, okay. I might have mentioned that. But then he also told me that, and he had to lower his voice to tell me this, that he couldn't believe they hired a black superintendent.
Yeah.
And also, I was like, no, I said I also couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
But again.
Again, for different reasons.
And he said, I mean, that guy obviously knew somebody. And I was like, oh, so it was probably the most qualified. I kept giving him the benefit of the doubt, and he just kept doubling down.
But that's
what I made $150 off him, and I sold him my sheep clippers.
There you go. All right.
So there's that.
So there's that. Well, I went to, actually, I had two school exposures recently, which I'm not normally in a school anymore. And the first one was I went to an IEP meeting as an advocate for one of my clients. And I got to sit on the other side of the desk and ask for things and use all these words like scaffolding and things like that, that I haven't gotten to use in a long time. So that was kind of fun. But what was weird was I walked into this school, and granted, it's the end of the year and the kids are all crazy, but the kids were like wild. I mean, just insane. And I was like, I texted Scotty and I was like, how the hell did I do this for all those years? You know, I don't get it. But so that was kind of, I mean, it was kind of fun to be there and, you know, look square in the eye of the LDTC and say, no, we're not going to sign without that, you know, and have them be like, okay, we'll include it. You know, that was fun. But the other thing I went to was, so I worked under three different principals in my tenure as a teacher. One for a really long time, the principal who hired me. And then another one for only a year. And then another one for like a year and a half. The last one for a year and a half is the one that I lovingly refer to as Bro Suit on this podcast, because he is just a misogynistic piece of clothing. Like, that's what he is. But anyway, it was a retirement party for that second principal for whom I only worked a year. But I knew her from the time that I started teaching, because she was the IT person for the district. And I would say in that year, I learned more from her than I had learned like the rest of the time. Not that I had a problem with my first principal. I really liked him. He was a good guy, but she was just great. Like, she knew her stuff. And she got screwed over pretty much by the superintendent who came in and didn't like her, and it was a whole thing. But anyway, so I went to her retirement party, And first of all, nobody expected me to be there. So it was kind of cool because everybody was just like, oh my God, you're here. You know, it was like, I am, I'm here. Like I felt very important and special and, you know, and it was great to see people. I mean, I haven't been inside that school building other than to collect my belongings since March 13th, 2020. And so, and even though I'm in touch with people and I see people on Facebook, it just was really fun to just, you know, chat with a bunch of them and to ignore the ones I didn't like, you know, finally be able to be like, I don't have fun, you know, but anyway, so I was getting my delicious Portuguese food because all of our parties had Portuguese food. It was awesome. And where I taught had a huge Portuguese population. So, and I turn around and who do I see but my former principal, Brosuit. Brosuit is actually one of the reasons this podcast was started, because Brosuit was the one who made a non-tenured teacher in her spare time put together something called Toilet Talk, which was little factoids that were in the bathrooms and were ridiculous. Okay. And when I saw that in the bathroom when I was still teaching, I came out of the faculty bathroom and I said, when I retire, I am going to blog about this because this is crazy. And of course, I'm not a blogger. So hence, I'm a talker, not a writer. So hence, the podcast was born. So there he is, Brosuit. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, I don't have to talk to him. And nor do I want to talk to him. Plus, I'm pretty sure he's aware of the podcast and he's aware of the fact that I make fun of him on the podcast. And I used to make fun of him a lot more.
Nice.
So, but one of my friends who retired at the same time as I did and also taught sixth grade, she taught sixth grade English. She decided to be a nice person and go over and chit chat with him. And instead of calling her by her right name, he called her Yo Miss. He gave her my name. Like, he's like, oh, hi, Yo Miss. How's it going? And then he was like, oh, wait, no, you're not. That's, he got all confused. And I was just like, oh my God, he's still an idiot. Like, he's just doesn't even.
And but wait. Did he, what did he call? Oh, never mind.
He called me by my, called her by my name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he called her Yo Miss. That's what he called her.
He does listen to the podcast. I realize you're being secretive.
Yeah. So she came, well, until the end. So she came back to the table and she was annoyed. She's like, I can't believe, like, I worked for this guy and I know I haven't been around for a while, but like, you know, it's, we're both here, you know, like, how could he not know that I'm me and blah, blah, blah. And then my friends were all saying how my friends who still work there and are work under this guy every day, they still say, like, he still doesn't know my name. He's been there for like 5 years now, 4 years, still doesn't know your names. And I was just like, wow. Okay. So he's like, basically, I felt like it was like the second bookend on, you know, we started the podcast because he was an idiot and he's still an idiot. So,
and nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed. And that kind of leads me and us into what's going on here, which is we don't have any guests today because today is actually going to be our last episode. Everybody, I know you're stunned, you're shocked. I know.
But people are swerving off the road right now. I know. Listening. This is the exact same. This is the same as Ted Lasso ending. It's exactly.
I know.
The same.
I'm actually going to steal Ted Lasso.
The impact.
I'm going to name this episode "So Long Farewell" because of Ted Lasso.
Yes.
Yeah, but
I'm not going to edit anything out of this, by the way. So you're going to see all our zips.
It's fine. That's totally fine.
So the deal is this, that about a month ago or so, I started talking to Scotty about the fact that I love having a podcast and I love meeting the people that we've had on the podcast and spending the hour and a half with them or whatever. But it was starting to be really hard to do all the other stuff that goes into a podcast, and that's editing and having to listen to it again and getting guests. And so that was starting to be difficult. And I was like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. And the other thing that was happening was that, you know, when we started this, it was kind of like, okay, let's have a place for teachers to tell their stories. And also we sort of went more of a direction of like politics and school boards, whatever, but that was fine. Like that was actually really interesting to me and hopefully to our listeners, because a lot of people wouldn't realize just how bad it is out there. But it's gotten to the point with education and with teaching where those stories that used to be like, ha, 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 that crazy kid, you know what he did? He did X, Y, Z. The stories aren't funny anymore because it happens all the time. It's every day. The behaviors are horrible. And listening to my friends at this retirement dinner talking about the shit they're dealing with every day and how they've just had enough and how tired they are of it, I was like, it's just like, it's a misnomer for us to be saying two teachers explore the realities of education. We're not teachers anymore. And, you know, you're still in that world, but I'm not, you know, and it's become very obvious when I was in, you know, a school or at a dinner that I've moved to a different spot in life. So I'm debating this. And then I hear from Miss V, who sends me with trepidation a text saying,
yeah,
I don't think I could do this anymore. And I was like, yes.
Okay. I mean, you're the only people I know from Jersey. I was real afraid. I'm terrified of you two. So
it's my cousin Vito. It's my cousin Vito you got to worry about.
Yeah. Okay. I spent a lot of time just literally worrying about the safety of my family if I pissed you off. No.
Well, you really think that you think that camping guy came out of nowhere? No, we sent him.
Oy vey, we're going to send the mafia off to you.
Yeah,
you
know? I felt, given that the first many episodes you thought we were on different time zones, that did give me some comfort that you might not be able to find me easily.
I still am like, are they really not in different times? I don't get it.
For me, it was kind of what you said, that it just felt like it was getting heavier.
Yep.
And, you know, working with the union, by the time your union rep is involved, shit's heavy. So I felt like I was doing it all day in my job and hearing these stories. And even when the union can help, you know, you can't do everything. There's a lot that the union can't do. I mean, the union can't fix student behavior. Right. The union can't fire shitty administrators. And God, there are so many bad administrators. And so to me, it almost felt like it was becoming a broken record to keep giving voice to, because that's depressing that it's not changing.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like it was hard with work, as I have, you know, some local leaders that I work really close with who I love dearly, and they are struggling mental health wise, physical health wise. And so just like you said, it felt hard to, especially not being in the classroom myself, to be here saying, like trying to kind of like hear them out, but also, like you said, kind of make those jokes of like, principals suck, right? When it's just, there's just so much more riding on it now, I suppose.
And so,
I was feeling kind of burned out by that.
And from my end as a layperson, I'd have to listen to it over and over again. There was nothing light about it. It was very depressing. And it was just, you know, it went on and on and on. And to your point, it was the same thing, you know, and it was just wasn't getting any better.
It's not, know? That's it. I mean, when we first started, it was kind of like, I guess we started during COVID, like a year into COVID. So there was still that hope there that, okay, maybe now that we've gone through this really horrendous experience, maybe, you know, everybody thinks the teachers were heroes and we're going to be like, you know, things are going to improve and people have these opportunities because they've learned about technology. Like there still was that little piece of hope there. And instead it got worse. You know,
it couldn't get any worse. Yeah. Well, guess what?
Yeah. Now you have, you know, all these school boards doing these crazy things. And it's just, you know, so much as we, you know, support teachers and feel like you are truly doing God's work at this point, And always, but, you know, especially now.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, we don't want to, I don't want to be an imposter, you know, and talk about like, okay, well, teachers are this and that. I'm not a teacher anymore. I walked away.
Well, and also, you know, you never had the intent for this to be a place for like lesson plans and that kind of crap. And so it felt like what I started to wonder was there's a fine line between like giving a space, a voice or a space for that voice. Mm-hmm. But then also like the line is between that and are you now just sort of like wallowing in it? Like I started to think, do right. teachers want to listen to this?
Yeah.
If they're living it. And so there is an amount of it that it's nice to hear other people have the same struggles. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll tell you just from watching that Life After Teaching page on Facebook, it's that fades and then it just feels hopeless. Yeah. And I loved teaching my first 10 years in spite of bad administrators. I still feel really sad that I'm not still teaching, but also, I mean, for obvious reasons, I want people to be teachers. I want people to want to teach. And I didn't want to be part of making it harder
mm-hmm.
for people who are just trying to hang in there, you know?
Yeah. Well, so we all have, you know, we all have our reasons. And honestly, it was also just a time thing. It was getting to the point where I was just like, you know, believe it or not, my coaching business is actually doing really well.
And to that point, I mean, for people who haven't done this kind of thing before, you don't realize how much work really goes into the back end of this.
Yeah.
Aside from just finding people, you then have to do the research on them. You have to dig and find out what they do and read up on them so that you can actually have an intelligent conversation with them. So it's not like you call them up and say, oh, come on the podcast. And then you hang up and then they come on and you talk. You know, there's a lot of background work that needs to be done, and it takes time.
And I have to mm-hmm. give Scotty kudos here because he has been a very patient editor for the last, you know, 2.5 years of, of listening to the podcast when we actually record it, then having to listen to it again as he's editing it and listening to it in small little pieces and going back. And he's a great editor. If anybody's looking for an editor, you know, if you want to pay him gazillions of dollars.
As long as there's money involved.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you another thing that people who, even people who present on a regular basis, as the teachers do, they're in front of their class, they say, they have very slow cadences sometimes. They say a lot. And I got to tell you, if you're sitting in someone's class and they're going, okay, today we're going to talk about the American Revolution. You're not engaging your class, guys. Learn how to speak in public.
All right.
We're
going to edit that out.
To be in a podcast and someone asks you a question, answer it.
Yeah.
That's fine if you have an anecdote or if you want to say, well, before I answer that, first I have to say this, but then get to it. Get to the answer.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, I have to say, we've had some, overall, we've had great guests.
Yes.
I mean, they've had interesting things to say. Yes. They have been very accommodating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was actually, before we started recording, I went and took a look at like all the different episodes we've done and just a lot of really from all different, you know, we had teachers, we had retirees, we had teacher husbands, teacher spouses rather. We had two teachers of the year that had to give up their titles because of being discriminated against because they were gay. We have had several, parent groups fighting their school boards. The founding person from Badass Teachers, Melissa Tomlinson. I mean, we've had some really good guests and fun guests and interesting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I have to thank them all because, you know, it's a Sunday night that they could be, you know, watching TV or whatever, and they come on and they want people to know, you know, what's going on. And I appreciate that. We all do. So, mm-hmm. All right. So if you have a complaint about us, if you've gotten this far, You have a complaint about us leaving? Let us know. But we are going to go into pop quiz for the last time. Our final pop quiz.
And boy, do I have a good one.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, we're going to save yours for last, Scotty, because you actually have a good one. All right, Miss V, what's your pop quiz? Go for it.
My question is, what is your favorite sandwich?
Okay.
It's because, well, this was also my question for Sunday, but today was family picnic for my fourth grader. He's almost a fifth grader. Yeah. And he loves croissants. And I don't even know where the first time he had one, because I don't really buy them a lot. But my grandma used to pronounce them croissants. Mm-hmm. And so we call them that as a joke in this family. And so I brought sub sandwiches, but we were just going to grab sub buns and they were out at the grocery store. So I was like, why don't we just get croissants? So I made fancy croissant sandwiches. And another parent made a comment like, oh, you had fancy croissants. So like, I didn't know pre-packaged croissants from the grocery store bakery was fancy. But so that is, I actually don't like sandwiches a whole lot unless they're subs. But I do love peanut butter and jelly. Love.
Yeah, I'm not a peanut butter and jelly person. I love peanut butter. I think I've talked about on here that I've had peanut butter and pickle sandwiches that are very good. I'd have to say if I'm going to pick my favorite sandwich, it's going to be a pastrami sandwich, lean, very lean pastrami, on a roll, on a sandwich roll, with coleslaw on the sandwich. That is heaven.
Mustard, no mustard?
No mustard, mustard.
No mustard?
No mustard. Nope. Just the pastrami and the coleslaw. That's my favorite. Maybe some Russian dressing, actually. Some Russian dressing.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
mine would be an Italian hero with everything. Cheese and salami and ham and lettuce, tomato, onion, peppers, everything just loaded up. Mustard, oil and vinegar, oregano. Oh,
sounds good.
Of course, as a Midwesterner, I like lots of mayonnaise.
So of course we have a restaurant, we have a shop called Riddle and Martin nearby that makes a big sloppy friggin' sandwich, and that's like my favorite. It's messy as hell, but
yeah,
it's good.
Nice.
It's quite delicious. All right. Well, my question is, what is something that just screams summer at you? So I will answer it so that, you know, we have, because usually my questions need me to answer since they're obscure.
To give us ideas.
Yeah. So mine would be the smell of suntan lotion, of sunscreen. Mm. Like, you smell that. If somebody opens up sunscreen in the middle of winter, you smell that and you're like, summer, you know? So what would it be?
Oh.
That's pretty good. I mean, I'm leaning towards, like, just, the, you know, heat. But that doesn't matter.
It's
so boring.
Maybe, no, I know. Maybe blueberries.
Blueberries?
Oh.
That's fair.
Blueberries, you know, or corn. Oh, no, I got it. Corn on the
cob. Oh, here we go. We're going to go into the
break. Oh, that's
fresh corn. Fresh corn.
That's okay. Miss V, what do you got? Yeah. What do you think?
Oof, I don't. I right away felt like sunburn was the answer, but.
That can be.
Yeah. Maybe sand in general, because we have lots of beaches in Michigan, and every now and then we'll make a trip out, like in the winter, but all just the mess of sand on your feet, sand in your car, sand in your towels, sand everywhere. That's very summery.
That is. You obviously have children.
All right, Scotty, what's your question?
If you could have had one person on this podcast, who would it have been?
Oh, that's so easy. Jill Biden.
That's mine too.
Oh, jeez.
Not Joe, Jill.
Jill, right. Yeah, that's mine too.
Jill Biden. That's.
Well, we've talked about that. And I was like, so send her an email, you know? But Miss wouldn't do it, but.
Because it's like buying lottery tickets. I could set fire to money too. Like I have to, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? People buy lottery tickets all the time because there's always a chance.
Well, I didn't.
When I was a kid, when Bill Clinton won the first presidency, my dog, we sired puppies. He was used as stud on Inauguration Day. And my parents convinced me that I should write a letter to Bill Clinton asking if he would like an Inauguration Day puppy. Because you never know. That's what my parents said. So I got a little thought that possibly there was a chance that I was going to end up delivering a puppy to the White House. But all I got was a photograph with his signature.
Of Monica Lewinsky.
And a very nice form letter.
There you go. See, now, if you had done the thing at Disney, he probably would have invited you.
Oh, my God. That's what was in there, probably. An invitation to the White House. Son of a bitch. So I feel like there are a lot of people. I like really nerd out about people who have like written books or like speak at conferences. So other than like, and I also nerd out about political officials too. So Jill Biden would be cool. But Goldie Muhammad is one of my favorite authors in the curriculum sort of cultural relevancy world. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually Facebook friends with her, and we have a mutual friend. So it might have been feasible to have her on. I don't know. But she's just, like, beautiful, beautifully spoken. Her books are beautiful. I just love her. She would be a cool guest.
You should have
asked
her.
If you have not read her books, you should check them out.
Okay, there you go.
Teachers, not you. You're not a teacher.
No.
Or me. We've established.
No. I am not a teacher. I read lots of books by, you know, by productivity scientists and, you know, ADHD folks and all that. So, yeah, but no more teaching. We are having a garage sale at the end of this month. And so we've been cleaning and doing and whatever. And I have so many books like from my classroom library, whatever, that I want to get rid of. But I also have
10 boxes of books.
Yeah. But I also have like two large, really large boxes of like teaching books, like, you know, about curriculum, about teaching math, about writing, about, you know, all the different things I taught, you know, the first days of school, you know, that one. Like I have all, and I was like, wow, like I didn't even realize I had that many of these because I guess I bought them over time, you know?
Yeah.
I'm looking at them going, did I read these? But I did. I mean, there were some I got. The math ones I read by Joe Bowler.
Great. If anybody wants to buy some teaching books, please contact us through the appropriate email and we'll be glad to arrange them.
Yes. Yes, we will. All right. Well, I think we're going to call this a wrap, huh? So let's see. What do I have to say from the outro here? Because some things we don't need to say anymore. Do not forget to check out Miss V's Substack Over Drinks. It is outstanding. It was about birds the other day, and I was super excited because now I actually know some things about birds. So I felt very like in the know there.
You know, Miss got a bird app on her phone, so when she
got
the dog, she can tell what the birds are chirping at her.
Yeah, Miss V was going to tell me about the app.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's addicting.
Yeah, it is. I'll have
you know that Cedar Waxwing is a bird that's on my bucket list to see because it's one of my mom's favorites, but I've never seen one in person. And the other day, I work in the city, and I was like randomly getting out of my car, and I'm hearing this bird, like, what is this bird chirping? It was bizarre. I pull it out. It was a Cedar Waxwing, but I didn't see it. I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
But now I know they're among us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. So yes, you can learn more about birds and other things over drinks. Okay. And also thank you to Max Siskin, friend of our daughters, Max Siskin of Max and Max in the Morning for our intro. And I don't think we have to say any of the other stuff.
Great. Cause that's all my stuff. I will say if you're feeling sort of like just disheartened by social media like we all are, everyone should check out Substack. And not just, you don't even have to read mine. You have to be willing to read, though. But they have now what's called Notes, which basically looks like a Facebook feed. And it just, I always find interesting people and interesting things and thoughtful discussion and books to read. I don't know. It's a very refreshing place to be. The only problem is I do have to really like pay attention and read. So it's not a great place if you're just doom scrolling, but If you just feel like you need some hope and humanity, go to Substack.
There you go. That's the advice for today.
That's all right.
Well, I guess thank you all for listening, and we're going to call it a day. So let's wrap it up.
What's my last one?
Yeah, go ahead.
This was a great year. And just remember, in only 90 days, you get to do it all over again.
Okay. I actually thought about this before. Don't forget to turn the lights out when you leave.
And put your chairs up.
Put your chairs up. Oh, gosh. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.